Hello and welcome back. This is the third shiur in Sefer HaChinuch. If you go to the website www.teachittome.com and go to the classes and select the class on Sefer HaChinuch, and we are doing the third class and the materials are there. So we begin now with the third shiur in Sefer HaChinuch. The first mitzvah that we'll be covering is the mitzvah Shechitat HaPesach, the mitzvah of ritually slaughtering the Pesach. Now the Pesach, as we're familiar with commonly, the word Pesach meaning Passover, the holiday, the word Pesach itself also means the actual sacrifice, a very specific sacrifice that will be offered up on the 14th day of Nisan, in the afternoon, for the holiday of Passover itself. So let's begin. Lishchot biyom abba asar b'nisan ben ha'arba'im se tamim ben shana o gedi b'bet ha'behira. So, on the 14th day of Nisan, as we said in the afternoon, a male sheep or a goat would be ritually slaughtered in the Bet HaMikdash, or in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, when that was the case in the desert. V'zeh nikra korban ha-pesach, and this is called the Pesach sacrifice. Sh'ne'emar v'shahatu oto kol kahal adad Yisrael ben harbaim. And they shall all slaughter it, the entire congregation of the Jews, in the afternoon. V'inyan ha-mitzvahu. Now the Sefer HaChinuch begins with the various matters, the connections in terms of the various details of the mitzvah itself. Shemitkapsin anashim Yisrael lahaburot, that the Jewish people would come together as groups, they would come together as families, as friends and families together, and so forth. V'lochim in ashuk umibetem gedi echad, and then what they do, they would either go to the market and purchase an animal specifically for this purpose, or they would take it from their own personal stock, their own personal livestock, and they would take again either a gedi echad or se tamim, so they would take a goat or a male sheep, tamim zachar ben shana, male and perfect without any blemishes, and it's, in other words, that it's a first yearling. Now it's interesting that this particular mitzvah, the mitzvah of the Shechitat Pesach, this is the first mitzvah following the Kiddush HaChodesh Hazeh, in other words, following the mitzvah of establishing the new moon, which we said was the very first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people. So this second mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people was that the Jewish people should come together as a group, that they should work not just as individuals but as a whole, as a community. And that the Jewish people are all connected and are not just individuals. The Jewish people are working interdependent collection of souls. Together as a whole, they accomplish that very unique purpose that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set out for them. That they should be a means for revealing His will in this world. And in doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's traits, His compassion, His ability to be the judge, His righteousness, all of this would become revealed to the world. The world would see and understand and recognize that there is a master of the universe who expresses Himself to the world and has a constant working influence in it. And the Jewish people, by their virtue of their connection to the Torah and the mitzvot, become the conduit for making this happen. Now each individual Jew has his own specific purpose, his own specific tikkun, his own specific rectification, his own specific ordering of the various matters of spirituality that need to take place as a result of his own individual fulfillment of the mitzvot. And no one else can do that for him. But it is the entire Jewish people as a whole, collectively, that combine together. The example that's given by the Rashash in his introduction to Na'ar Shalom. There he explains that each and every single Jew, that the hashpa, that the flow of holiness that he brings to the world by virtue of his mitzvot, that all of them are separate branches that come together into a great roaring river. And while it's true that if one stream happens to be clogged, if one stream doesn't fulfill what it needs to, that there still would be a flow in the river, that there still would be a hashpa, there would still be a flow to the world. Nevertheless, it's reduced. Ever so small, but reduced. Therefore, every single Jew has a very special purpose. That special purpose may give him different gifts. So to speak, some Jews represent, in a sense, the arms of the Jewish people, some the legs of the Jewish people, some the head of the Jewish people. Each Jew having his own specific shoresh, his own specific place where he fits into the great body of the Jewish people as a whole. And each and every one has their great obligation to fulfill his part of making this entire body of the Jewish people glow. But given that that's the case, that every single Jew has an express importance in the actual vitality of the whole, there's no place for any individual to have ga'ava, to have a self-centered approach to his own abilities in the world. Each individual is given the various tools by God to fulfill that which is his place. So if a person is a haham, if a person is a wise man, what this means is that he needs to apply himself on that level, learning for the Jewish people, learning for the world, and elevating it. If that person happens to be a gibor, he's a strong, physically strong individual, then his purpose certainly belongs in the front lines of the defense of the Jewish people itself. But the value of each and every one is incredible. A bird is not going to become self-centered. It's not going to become haughty of the fact that it can fly. It has wings. God gave the bird wings to fly. That's what it does. The haham, the wise man, learns and teaches. The strong man defends and safeguards. Each one having his special purpose in the whole. And it's not possible to detract from any one of them. It doesn't change the fact that there's a certain hierarchy of organization that exists within the entire whole of the Jewish people. Those Jews whose place is in the eyes, so to speak, who have the foresight and perception of what exists, who are the planners, who are those that understand where things go, as it says, the wise man's eyes are on his head. If a person is in that position, then the hands have to turn to the eyes to know what to grab, to know where to go. It doesn't give the right to the eyes to think of themselves as being anything more than the arms. And the arms, of course, need to know their place, need to know that they have an important place in the entire process and are not less because of the fact that their specific tools, their specific function happens to be different than the eyes. It's the collective whole of the Jewish people. And are coming together what God wants. So this being the second mitzvah given to the Jewish people, as a people, we can understand why the idea of a chabura, of a group bound together for a specific holy purpose, should be an intricate part of that mitzvah. It was an amazing thing for me the first time I came to Eretz Yisrael to see Jews in so many different capacities involved in the Holy Land, in the upkeep of the Jewish people as a whole, of the yeshivot, to see the entire range from the sweeper on the streets to the Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva. It was an amazing thing to see them all together and bound as a whole, all together in our land. Give me a certain sense of ahava, of love, for the fact that I too have a place, wherever that place is, and being able to assist and work to do my part, whatever that might be. Each person has to look at his specific strengths and has to develop them and grow them and exercise them for the sake of the entire Jewish people, for our collective mission to reveal God's will in the world, to fulfill His Torah, to learn, to teach, to do, and to establish. Ushahatin oto be'ezrat bet hamikdash biyom yudav nisan ben arba'im. So it is brought into the Azara, it's brought into the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, and on the 14th of Nisan, in the afternoon time, and there it's shechted. Meaning as a group and as a whole, together in the evening it's eaten. And when is it eaten? Meaning when does this holy assembly of Jews come together and actually eat? After they're full. After they're satiated and have eaten their meal. I mean, not like a pack of animals trying to fulfill their needs, but rather as an expression of the divine will. And why then after one has already been satiated? To show that the express reason for filling this most basic need, this most lowly of tasks, filling of one's belly, but it being used on the highest plane in the fulfillment of a mitzvah, fulfillment of a command. So if we're going to demonstrate the achdut, the incredible unity of the Jewish people, we're going to do so through something that would be uniquely different than the rest of the world. Eating. Eating to fulfill a mitzvah. Eating, because that's what God has asked of us to do, even though we're full and physically don't want it. are not interested in it. Our interest will. And so clearly and truly, such an elevation of the one physical aspect that connects the entire human and animal race together. Sustenance. And transcending beyond it, and therefore elevating and drawing together the holy and the secular. Mishor she mitzvah zo. Now the philosophical underpinnings of this mitzvah are now going to be discussed in the Sefer HaChinuch. Kedei sheyizkru ha-Yehudim le'olam ha-nisim ha-gdolim she'asa lehem Hashem yitbarach b'yetziat Mitzrayim. That the Jewish people should eternally remember the great miracles that were done to them, meaning to you, the Jew who is alive and well today, as well as the Jew who left Mitzrayim then, that God did for us in taking us out of Egypt. Not just remembering a past event that has occurred, but understanding how divine spirituality has been invested in us as a people, how God pierced the very world, the very physicality of this world, and extended into the deepest, darkest pit, which was Egypt, and took us out. And we, as the Jewish people, in remembering these events and what God did for us, we don't remember it as some passerby reading through a textbook of events that happened, which one has no connection to. But rather as being the actual people, the actual participants in this miracle. There at the table on Pesach, a father says, I was taken out of Egypt. And his father said that before him, and his father before him, extending all the way back to our actual leaving together. These events were not things that happened to some individual prophet. These were events and miracles that happened before millions of Jews and millions of people. A tremendous world-changing event. And that despite the efforts to distort history and time, nevertheless, still are as plain as day and alive, in that it wasn't one person, but many, and the story hasn't changed and remains consistent among the millions of Jews to this very day. It's again this concept of group, of chabura, that again feeds into this idea that the revelation of God to the Jewish people was as a whole, that the entire Jewish people, prophets, the sons of prophets, and not just to an individual. So how incredible is it that it's specifically here, in the idea of the slaughter of the Pesach lamb, that we find the most ridiculous possible source that could ever possibly be chosen to form some alien religion that loosely associates with the Jews. I find it to be quite ironic. Being that here, when we celebrate that we, each and every one of us, have direct roots going all the way back to an event, that we have a text that despite thousands of years of separation, still remains complete and totally identical, meaning that Jews that went to the north, the Jews that went to the south, Jews that went to the east or the west, all have a Torah that is identical, all have the same story, as an entire people reiterate the very same ideas. Collectively, and specifically through this mitzvah, meaning Pesach and all of its collected halachot, that here should be the area where someone wishes to create some sort of alien idea. Unbelievable. There, not even a text exists in its original language. There's fights as to what the original languages were. There's considerable inconsistencies in and out of the text, left and right. And no one actually claims to have been descendants of anybody that had anything to do with anyone. So ironic it is, and so it is, where the greatest light exists, in its absence, the greatest darkness can be seen. Dinei HaMitzvah, the laws of this command, Kigon Zman Shchitato Bayom Emat, for example, the question of at what time of day is the actual slaughter going to take place. That it is done in a series of three different assemblies, three different groups. That the observance of Shabbat is set aside for it. And all the various laws concerning putting together the various groups. Ukriyat Halel Alav, and the reading of the praises of God and Halel, Utkiat Chatzotzrot, and the blowing of the shofar as part of the Halel, V'yeta Pratei Vo'arim V'Masechet Psachim, the various details are explained in the tractate of Psachim in the Gemara, in the Talmud. V'Noheget B'Zecharim V'Nekevot B'Zman Abayit, in the time when the Beit HaMikdash stood, it is during that time that it would become incumbent upon both men and females to together form these groups and to bring these sacrifices. If a person intentionally and in spite did not fulfill this mitzvah, did not fulfill this commandment of offering the Pesach lamb, he is spiritually cut off. As you can see, that this mitzvah, being the mitzvah of connection and chaburah, the connection of the Jewish people one to another, if you willfully cut yourself off from this command, you're cutting yourself off from the Jewish people. You're cutting yourself off from God, who attaches himself to the Jewish people, was chosen them. B'shogegenu mevi korban. If this was done unintentionally, meaning that he didn't realize that he had to fulfill this commandment, or he didn't realize that in fact it was Erev Pesach, he doesn't have to bring a sin offering. Because this is actually amongst the three mitzvot in the entire Torah that if a person was to willfully violate, he would receive, again, this idea of excision, but he would not, in having not fulfilled it properly, meaning out of, again, unknowingly done so, that he doesn't have to bring a sin offering. Vehenze, so now this is one of those. The second one is Megadef. The second one is cursing God's name. And the third is Mvatel Milah, is a person who ignores the precept of circumcision. It's interesting that in these three mitzvot, you have the idea of the Jewish people as a whole. You have the idea of God, and you have the idea of the individual Jew. That the three of them together form a sort of triad of mitzvot. That if a person knowingly and spitefully should violate, finds himself with the greatest of punishments. But unknowingly does not bring a sin offering. I'd like to propose that part of that idea is because we, each and every one of us as Jews, are responsible for each and every Jew. And therefore, through education and through inspiration, specifically in these three areas, in understanding the holiness of God's name and its specific connection to the Jewish people, about the entire Jewish people and its connection one to the other, and the individual Jew and his important job, that it's our purpose together to inspire each other and to let each other know. Therefore, in spite, you're cutting from the very underpinnings of the Jewish people. And out of lack of knowledge, it's because there's not enough connection to the Jewish people. And therefore, God willing, each and every one of us will do our part to connect our fellow Jews to their source as individuals, as members of the Jewish people, and as children of God. The sixth mitzvah, mitzvot achilat basar ha-pesach. This is the commandment of eating the flesh of the Pesach, of the korban, of the sacrifice of Pesach, as we've mentioned before. Le'chol basar ha-pesach, b'leil chamisha asar b'nisan, al pi tenaim shekakatuv, shenemar, v'achlu et ha-basar b'leil hazeh. That the mitzvah is that we should eat the flesh of the Pesach on the 15th, meaning of Nisan, meaning the evening after the 14th one is when we did the actual shechita, the actual slaughter of the animal. As it says, and they shall eat of the flesh on that evening. So the logical, philosophical underpinnings of this mitzvah are such. That we should remember the awesome miracles that have been done to us by God. That He took us out from slavery. That He allowed us to partake on the level of angels. Meaning to eat not as animals, not out of physical desire, but to eat for the sake of the mitzvah alone. Dinei ha-mitzvah, the laws of this mitzvah. Kama chayav kol echad lechol mimenu lechol hapachot. Is to know what is the minimum amount that each and every one of us needs to eat, which is the bulk of an olive, a kazayit, v'animnaim alav ech yitnagu ad shiachlu. How the various groups that have come together have to behave until the time when they actually eat it. Shelo letzet min hachabura, that as a unified whole they cannot separate, because again this idea of coming together as a whole, the binding together of the Jewish people as a unit, that symbolism can be broken by a person breaking from the group. Shelo yishnu, that a person cannot go to sleep until it's been completely eaten. There's a mission to be accomplished, and as a group it needs to be done. V'yeta pratim uvarim b'pesachim, and various other details are discussed in Masechet Pesachim. Noheget b'zecharim u'nekevot. This is performed by both males and females. And whoever does not partake and does not fulfill their obligation in the eating of the Korban Pesach, he has held himself back and has, in a sense, violated a positive commandment. Just to put things into perspective, just for a moment, what's the idea of bitul aseh? Of having voided a positive action, having not fulfilled it. From the level of punishment, certainly this is far inferior to another mitzvah, to another commandment, a lo taaseh, a thou shalt not do type of command, in that a punishment there may be of all various sorts inflicted by the Beit Din, but here there's no infliction, although there can be forcing, as we're going to see in a moment, there can be a pushing to fulfill in a moment. So therefore we see clearly that in the world of punishment this is far less, but from a spiritual perspective, not fulfilling what God asks of you in a positive light is far more damaging. You see, at any given time or moment, you have an opportunity to bring to the world Kiddusha, to bring to the world holiness. More importantly, you have the ability to actually elevate and actually flood the upper worlds with Kedusha, with holiness. And that opportunity exists now, here, right this moment. 5 minutes from now is a different moment and therefore a different opportunity. Meaning that if you didn't perform the mitzvah, if you didn't do the good deed, you lost the opportunity. And there's no way to make up that lost moment because the moment has passed. On the other hand, if somebody has violated the Torah from the perspective of a negative commandment, he does tshuva, he can clean and rectify and fix the damage that has happened, so much so that he can bring it to the point where it's completely squeaky clean and shiny as if it never happened. But yet here there's no way to make up for a missed opportunity. וכלל גדול בכל התורה לכל שאומר שיבטל מצוות עשה שכופן עדו ביתין אם יש כוח בידם עד שיקמנו. And from this comes out a general principle in the Torah as a whole, that any place that it says that a person would be not keeping a positive commandment, that the Beit Din, the Jewish court, can force him to perform the mitzvah if it's within the hands of the court to be able to do so, and to continue doing so until he actually fulfills the mitzvah. You see, so great is each and every Jew's part in the entire fulfillment of God's will as a whole, that even force would be applied in order that it shouldn't be a river that runs without his stream. That it should be complete and total. And so in truth it is that in the very essence of every single soul, of every single Jew, is that express desire to fulfill God's will. And so the Beit Din is putting pressure on the physical person in order to allow an expression of that person's spiritual side. May it be God's will that each and every one of us find from within ourselves and from within our families and our surroundings sufficient inspiration to break and to remove any desire that holds us back, even from the tiniest moment, to fulfilling God's will. And may it be that each and every one of our actions, together as a whole, cry out and scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehrah V'yameinu. Amen.